Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
So after getting fired after job after job, I'm like, nah, I think the only thing I can do is become an entrepreneur because I can control my time. Right. I don't have to worry about people firing me and not being able to take care of myself, create my own business, and create my own schedule so I could take back control of my health.
Talk about that grind, doing hair in your dorm room, and then you get to a space where you build a seven-figure. A seven-figure is a $1 million business.
I love that you pointed that out because, unfortunately, I was born with sickle cell anemia, a huge disease that faces a lot of Black people, islands, Spanish people.
You're telling me a first-generation American comes here with this rare, disease, build a business up to seven figures. That sounds like delusion to me.
If you target people that are suffering with acne, and there's millions of people, you're going to get paid because they've been trying to get rid of that for years. With the virtual aesthetics, you can make $500 to $2,000 in only 30 minutes with one client.
And they're saying, the economy is messed up. Thousands of people are losing jobs. And why would somebody spend money on beauty?
Yeah, people aren't spending as much, but
Wait, I know you want to watch this next video, but listen, if you are an entrepreneur, business coach, business consultant, or a small business owner who has a story and wants to learn how to create multiple streams of income from your story, I need you to text me right now, my book, to 646-687-4152. That is my personal number. I have been an author for over 12 years. I've written 10 books. 4 of them have been bestsellers, and I've sold over 100,000 books. But I've also helped a lot of my clients take their expertise and put it into a story, then create multiple streams of income from that. So I want to help you do the same thing. So text my book to 646-687-4152. All right, let's go back to the video. All right, so welcome to another awesome episode of Inside the Vault with Ash Cash, the greatest money mindset show on the planet. Listen, most people think freedom comes from working harder, but what if working harder is the very thing keeping you broke, burnt out, and boxed in? Today's guest started as a broke college student doing makeup in a dorm room just to survive. She did everything right. She got the degree. She went corporate and still found herself trapped, not by lack of talent, but by her own body. Chronic illness forced her to ask a question most entrepreneurs avoid. What kind of business can I run if my health won't let me grind? She opened up a spa in the middle of the pandemic, scaled it to seven figures, then made a move that shocked the beauty industry. She walked away from the storefront model entirely. Today, she runs a fully remote aesthetics business, helps beauty professionals scale to six and seven figures without burnout, and proves you don't need a chair, a suite, or a city full of rich clients to build real wealth. If you ever felt trapped by your business, your body, or the belief that success requires sacrifice, you're going to want to watch this episode all the way to the end. Ladies and gentlemen, we have Elaine, the Essien, the esthetician in the building, Triple E's. We was joking behind the scenes because this is a tongue twister, but we have Elaine in the building. How are you? How you feeling? I'm doing well. I'm excited to have this conversation with you because not only did you start your business where, through survival, so you didn't, it's not like you came from money. You were able to build up a seven-figure business. You had to walk away from it. And really this concept, especially in our community, where we are told that we need to work hard for money, work hard for money, work hard for money. You're actually saying the opposite, saying that you shouldn't be on the grind all the time. But then also you have a chronic illness that I want to talk about as well that actually has forced you to the soft life. It was, I guess, what they like to call it, right? The soft life, which is a great thing that you were able to monetize and still, like, you don't have to sacrifice your well-being because, of your illness. And we'll talk about all of that stuff. But before we start there, for those who don't know, who is Elaine Essien?
Hey, guys. So you got it right. I'm Triple E.
Triple E.
Elaine Essien, the esthetician. I'm from Albany, New York. So a little bit about me. I've been in the beauty industry for about 10 years now. Started off as a makeup artist, as you mentioned, doing makeup in my dorm room. Did that for a few years. Then I actually won a Shark Tank pitch competition. I made my own lashes that girls like throw on for makeup. And then after that, I decided to go to aesthetic school and I opened up my own spa business. My parents, though, they're both from Ghana, first gen. So they were not a fan of my entrepreneurial life. They like just focus on your books. But I just knew that wasn't for me. So, yeah, here we are.
And so I want to unpack a lot of that, though. Right. Because, both of my parents are from Haiti. Mm. And so I understand, like, the first generation American. It may look like it's the better way, and no disrespect to anybody who does works a 9-to-5, but as somebody who is an entrepreneur who has generated over 7 figures in business, I understand that's not the only way. I know for me, when I decide, I came from a banking background. I was working as a banker. I was making 6 figures, making great money. Grew up in the projects, so I remember the day I told my mother that I was quitting my job. I think she was about to attack me, like physically. How was that conversation like to your parents, telling them, listen, I'm trying to be an entrepreneur. Like, what was the conversation like, and why didn't you listen? ultimately.
Yeah. So for me personally, and I feel like every entrepreneur has this inside of them, it's like, if they don't like it, they're not going to do it. Like they say, most entrepreneurs are like BC students. So one thing about me, my parents would be like, do it this way and not that way. And I'd be like, no, that doesn't make any sense. So me and my parents used to beef all the time. So once I realized that they didn't really support me or see me succeeding in the lane I wanted to go in, I just stopped talking to them. Because,
That's a gem right there, though, too. Stop talking to your parents. But I'll explain, but go ahead.
Yeah, because, there's a line that says, whoever has your ear has your future.
Hey, bars.
Yeah, so I knew it was important to not share my dreams with people that wouldn't be able to understand it. So I moved solo for a long time once I realized that they weren't a fan. And I used to tell them, like, hey, like, there's tons of celebrities, Beyonce, Jay-Z, all these people that are not in corporate doing amazing. But I feel like for where our parents came from, they just feel like that's them, not you. Yeah. And I think a big thing about, you being Haitian, me being African, foreign people in general, it's like they had such a hard life, So us coming here and being able to go to school for free and all that, it's like, just put your head down, go to school and get a job. Why are you trying to try things out that might not work? So it's like, they want your best. They have their best interest in heart for you, but they don't know what's best for you.
Yeah.
And I always tell them, like, no one grows up to want to be a janitor, right? Mm-hmm. But people are janitors. We need people in different roles. So not everyone can be a doctor, a lawyer. You know what I mean? We all are called to do different things.
Yeah, yeah. I love that. And you actually said what I want them to get back to when I said, don't talk to your parents. That might sound shocking to people. But what I really mean, and you said this, is you can't really take advice from people who haven't done what you are looking to do. And a lot of times, we conflate love with who we should be taking advice from, right? And so because, not everybody who has your best interest at heart, a lot of them are not even qualified to give you advice. So like for me, same thing. Like when I think about my mother worked, she barely spoke English. She worked factory jobs. And so even me making 6 figures was a big deal, right? It was like, oh my God, and I'm not taking that for granted. But if I'm looking at life and I'm saying there's a possibility that I could be a millionaire, and nobody in my family has ever been a millionaire, I know y'all love me. I know y'all gonna root for me. But at the end of the day, you know what? I'm gonna stop talking to you, exactly. Right? I want to start talking to the people who are, you know, who've been where I've been, who could guide me and say, hey, no, this is the route you need to take because I've been there before. Talk a little bit about your chronic illness, though, because I think that is potentially, right? Could that have been one of the things your parents were thinking about? Were like, man, you know, she has this condition, and this condition, you know, she need a job. She need a stable job. She need health benefits. Like, can you talk a little bit about the condition?
Yeah. So unfortunately, I was born with sickle cell anemia. That's like a huge disease that faces a lot of Black people, island, Spanish people, but it doesn't really get a lot of light because it affects mostly people of color. So we already know how the industry is in the hospital with us. So there's a lack of information and a lack of help. One thing that was unfortunate, you know, coming up with my family is like, they kind of pretended like it didn't exist, you know, like, I don't know about, you know, being Haitian, but, you know, they like to sweep things under the rug. Yes. They don't want people in your business. Don't talk about it. No one even knew, you know, that I had this growing up, close family members. So I was a bit disappointed because as I grew up and I kept losing jobs because you'd end up in the hospital for weeks, you know, even months sometimes, I could never hold a job. Doesn't matter how good I was at the role, especially because you can't tell when someone has it. You can be in excruciating pain, but no one can tell, you know, unless you tell them. So one thing that I realized I had to take control of my own life because I feel like my parents were in denial about it because I know you have kids. So it's just like you don't want to see your kid in pain. So I feel like they tried to pretend like it wasn't real, yeah. But it was real, you know. So you would think they would put money aside for me and all that because of the situation. I mean, no one wants to claim disability, but maybe do something to help me. But they didn't. They just were like, oh, just try not to get sick. But this is not something that you could control. Right, right. So after getting fired after job, I'm like, nah, I think the only thing I can do is become an entrepreneur because I can control my time. Right. I don't have to worry about people firing me and not being able to take care of myself. Like I thought I was going to have to live at my parents' house forever because I just never knew, you know, if I could have a stable job. So I just had to take into my own hands, you know, create my own business and create my own schedule so I could take back control of my health.
Yeah. And that's powerful because again, like even just hearing that, right? It's like you were made to be an entrepreneur. But before we go off of the sickle cell, because I just for my knowledge, and then you know those who are watching, when you say you know you would be like what is sickle cell anemia, yeah, first and foremost, and then like take me through, you know, when does it pop up? Like, give me, you know, I'm 5 years old, you know what I'm saying? And you're trying to explain to me like what sickle cell anemia is. How would you explain?
Yeah. So basically in short, sickle cell anemia, it's a blood disease. It's not contagious. So all of your red blood cells are like circular shape. But for when you have sickle cell, the majority of your red blood cells are shaped like a crescent, like think of a crescent moon. Yeah. So because that's not the standard, when it's going through your veins, like traveling through the body, it gets stuck sometimes. And wherever all those blood cells stick in, they get stuck. That's what causes the pain. So it can happen anywhere. It's not always in your knees. It could happen anywhere, your ankle, your knee, your back, anywhere, your arms. And the pain is super excruciating. You know, you can't measure pain. But one of my cousins went to Harvard and they did a study and they said the closest they could measure it is breaking 7 bones at the same time. That's how bad the pain is. And sometimes it can be in multiple areas. I had multiple times. It was in my back. It was in my knee. I'm trying to rotate the heating pad. Like I'm squirming. And the worst part about it is like when you go to the hospital, like they usually give people morphine if they're in extreme pain, like. The amount of morphine that would help like a normal person, they can give you like 5 rounds of it and it still doesn't work. So what sucks about it too, and I'm happy that we're talking about it because it needs more light, is a lot of times people that suffer with sickle cell, they don't get the help they need. And some people actually pass away because they think you're drug seeking, especially because most people that have this are Black. So they think like, oh, they're just here to seek drugs. They're not really in pain. They're lying. But we're in excruciating pain. So I've had so many times I've had round, like 10 rounds of morphine. It didn't help the pain. It just made me throw up, but it didn't help the pain. Like, yeah. It's so bad. Like, I wouldn't wish that pain on anybody.
Is there a warning? Like, is it saying, hey, about to creep up on you. So how do you know? Yeah.
That's the unfortunate part. It surprises you. So I used to go to bed with so much anxiety about, like, am I going to be well tomorrow?
Yeah.
The one grateful thing I can take from it is that's what helped my drive, because I never knew if I had tomorrow. I never knew if tomorrow I'd end up in the hospital for a week. So, no, there's no real trigger. The only thing that they can help you with is not even a medication really that can help. It's just drinking more water so the blood cells can, like, travel better. But yeah, there's nothing. The only thing that will trigger it is, like, extreme heat or extreme cold. And we're not allowed to swim either because of that temperature change in the body, or hot tubs, because you'll start sweating. So those are the only triggers that you know you'll get sick. But besides that, it's unfortunately a surprise.
And then, you know, what is the time between outbreaks, or is that what they...
It's literally random. Like, you could go to the hospital, you know, maybe leave the same day, be good for 2 days, and then bam, it hits you again. You in there for a week. So there's not a strict timeline, which is why, like, I got fired from so many jobs, because it's like you can't predict it.
Right.
You know what I mean? So it's super unpredictable. There's nothing you can really do. Even when you end up in the hospital, it's like you want to get better, but you literally have to let it run its course.
And so let's just say within a year's time,
yeah,
you know, are there years with, like, man, I had five,
yeah,
and then this year I had one, like,
yes.
What's the average, what would you say, like?
Yeah, so growing up when I was younger, it was super frequent. Like, I'd probably be in the hospital like 30-50% out of the year. Like, I was in there all the time. I miss a lot of school. I always say I'm bad at math because, like, I miss so much of math class. We did long division and all that. Like, so, but that's a great question. It really depends. I just remember all the time in the hospital, they called me a frequent flyer because I was there all the time.
Wow.
Like, I was like, dang, this place is like my second home, and I hated it. Yeah.
Yeah. And so is there's no cure for it?
No.
Like even if they did, like, blood transplants, let me just take out all of those and replace it, like, nothing.
So the only thing that they do have, but it's not 100%, is a bone marrow transplant.
Okay.
But, you know, that's like an extreme surgery, and you have to go through chemotherapy and all that.
Yeah.
But you have to remember, like, when you have sickle cell, your immune system's already weakened.
Yeah.
Your blood count is already low. So it's a very risky thing to do. And you have to be in the hospital for a bit, I think about minimum 3 months. So it's just like, it's better maybe to do it for your child when they're a kid. But I feel like doing it when you're older, you know, you don't recover as fast. So honestly, I don't think that's something I want to try right now. But that's the only thing they have. But my goal is to get richer, you know, so I can help donate. Because, like I said, it's very, like, no one really invests into it because it affects mainly Black people. There's tons of nurses I love. God bless all the good nurses that took care of me. Some of them not that great. But there's a lot of them that's like, man, I wish they got so much attention. When we were in school, sickle cell was like only a little small paragraph, but I can see with my patients that this is so extreme and you're in so much pain. So please let me know anything you need. Those are the good nurses versus the others. Like, you sure you want more medicine? Like, oh, you sure you're in that much pain? So yeah, so there's a lack of info. There's a lack of, you know, donations. There's a lack of studies. So that's my goal. Yeah.
And I appreciate you sharing that. I guess my last question, rest in peace, Dr. Sebi, you know, salute, you know, Yaki Awaken. Are there not the Dr. Sebi, are there herbs? Are there like sea moss? Like, have you heard of anything that's outside of traditional medicine that can help or lessen the sickle cell?
Definitely. You know, eating like Yaki, eating fruits and vegetable juice and all of that is going to be beneficial. But as far as curing it, probably not. But that will help suppress like the flare ups. Like, beet juice is really good for you because beet is red blood, you know, so that stuff is good for you. But, you know, like, still.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so now let's flip back to getting richer. And that's why I wanted to talk about that for an example. Because there are so many people out there that suffer with you know, chronic illnesses. Salute to my sister Eunice. She actually just wrote a book, called The Day I Got Up, because she has multiple sclerosis. And this is something that just, same thing. Not she didn't like grow up with it. It just kind of like popped up on her. I know a bunch of people who have stuff that could potentially stop them. Even when I'm hearing you and you, what you talk about, you know, you actually gave me a higher respect for you, to be honest with you, right? To be able to have that type of pain going through your body, and you were just rebellious and said, listen, like, I'm going to be successful. Like, you are the definition of, like, no matter what, you know what I'm saying? So that's, you know, that, like, I salute you for that for sure. And you were able to build a seven-figure business. Talk a little bit about that. And before we get there, like, if y'all listening, really pay attention to this, because there's a lot of us who don't go through anything, right? Like, we complain. Like, I'll be honest with you, I played basketball all my life. As I'm sitting here, my knee is on fire, right? Because I had tendonitis, right? But as I'm listening to you, I'm like, this little bum knee ain't going to do nothing. And so a lot of us, you know, we don't really go through anything. We complain about, oh, I'm tired, or I'm not going to walk because of this, or I'm not going to do what it takes. But this is somebody who, like seven bones being broken. Talk about that, like, that grind, like, all right, doing here in your dorm room, and then you get to a space where you build a seven-figure. A seven-figure is a $1 million business. Talk a little bit about that journey.
Yeah, I love that you pointed that out, because people really sleep on their health, and it's really unfortunate. Like, people wait till they get in a car accident or they get cancer. They know someone with cancer, like, oh, I need to step in. I need to go full force in my goals. Like, why wait? You know, why delay your success, you know, when you can get started now? So, yeah, definitely with my situation, you know, there's always both sides, right? Other people will feel pity, but I'm grateful because it gave me the drive to go crazy, because I never knew how much time I had being healthy. So, yeah, starting out in my dorm room, I just did makeup for fun. You know, my hairstylist told me to do it. She said, your face always looks good. You know, go ahead and do it when you go to college, make some money. And I did that, and then made some money doing that. Started selling lashes just from, like, a supplier. No casing, no nothing. I was, like, driving around like I'm a drug dealer with the lashes, selling the lashes. And then I realized that's when I wanted to up it and get, like, a long-lasting lash. So that's when I did the Shark Tank pitch competition, went against 32 different businesses. Like, he had some cool VR stuff before VR was a thing, mm-hmm. and my lashes went on top of that. Then I went to work corporate. It only lasted, like, 3 to 6 months. And I was like, yeah, nah, I can't do this. And I left, and then I pursued aesthetic school. And I had no clue I was there. God led me there. But I'm just like, all right, let's do it. Like, I ran a makeup business. I think I could do this. Opened up in the middle of the pandemic. Like, facials weren't even allowed. Everyone's like, you sure you want to do that? Like, slow your roll. I said, nah. Like, God called me to this, and I'm not just going to wait till COVID's over. And COVID's still going on. So imagine if I waited, I wouldn't have crossed over $1 million if I listened to people. So I'm always tunnel vision and just doing what I think is best. And I feel like that's really important for people. They're always looking for a cosigner. If you wait for a cosigner, you're never going to make, and you're never going to fulfill your purpose.
Yeah, and I agree. And I don't think people understand, though, like, there is a 1% for a reason, right? And when you think about 1%, the stats just say that anybody who makes $400,000 or more makes more money than 99% of the world, mm-hmm. right? And so that 1% means that you're not going to be like everybody else. Like, if you are watching this and you're like, all right, I want to make six figures, I want to make $400,000. Well, you're trying to be in the 1%. If you're trying to be in the 1%, then that means majority of people, if you go into a room right now and there are 10 people in that room, 9 of them are not going to be thinking, there's only going to be one person that is that has the energy or has the mindset that, honestly, that's delusional enough.
Yeah.
Right? Because you have to be, like, you have to be crazy, though, right? You have to be crazy to be in that much pain to say, I'm gonna go, like, I'm not, like, because think about this, right? And this is a true question for you. Like, with what you do, like, you have to be rich. Mm-hmm. Because what about healthcare? What about, like, you're telling me that you could be in a hospital for months at a time and you'll still make money? Talk a little. I'm jumping all over the place, because I'm like, man, the fact that you started this business, you shut it down,
yeah,
because you were like, listen, I need to do a business that doesn't require me to work hard though.
Yeah.
Right. And I guess in your, like, again, in your mind, you're like, listen, I can't, like, there might be times that I'll be in the hospital. I still need to get money. So talk a little bit about that pivot from, all right, I'm closing down this business and I'm changing. Like what gave you the foresight to say, I want to create a different business model that I get paid regardless, and explain that business model a little bit.
Yeah, for sure. So especially for the service providers, like a lot of people are chained to their chair. Mm-hmm. So like a barber, like you only make money if you're doing haircuts. So it's the same thing being an esthetician. So, you know, my first real dive into entrepreneurship was opening up my own suite and doing the facials. I'm like, okay, cool. I don't have a job, you know, but I'm getting my own money. But then I realized I'm just a super employee, because if I'm not working, I'm not making any money. So if I'm in the hospital, I'm not making money. So I realized, like, I needed to do something different. So I opened up a storefront. I hired a team. So I went from a super employee to a glorified babysitter, because it's like, now I have to run all these people, make sure they're doing a good job. If they're not here, I still have to work. So I'm like, this isn't it either. So with the virtual aesthetics, I'm like, bet. So with the virtual aesthetics, you can make $500 to $2,000 in only 30 minutes with one client. So, and they still get the same results. So 80% of your skincare results come from what you're doing at home, and 20% is like through treatments. So to give like a better explanation, it's kind of like going to the gym. Like if someone never goes to the gym, but they eat healthy every single day, they're going to still look better than the person that goes to the gym every day, but they eat like crap.
Damn, I feel judged. Because I go to the gym 5 times a week. I swear to God, I do. I feel judged. You coming for me. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
So, yeah, that's basically how it is. So when I figured that out, I'm like, what? $2,000 in 30 minutes? You'd have to do like 8 to 12 services in person, and your back is hurting, your neck is hurting, your wrist is hurting. That's impossible. So I was like, I don't want to depend on other people, and then I don't want to have all this overhead, and I want to have my freedom. Mm. So that's when I went virtual. So I
was introduced to you, or like, yeah, like, yeah, cause I was gonna say, like, was it epiphany, like, or like who introduced you? Like, yeah. How did this come about? And then what was like when you saw it? You're like, wait. This is better.
Yeah. So I joined a mentorship. Mm-hmm. I joined a mentorship just to scale my spa business, yeah, and for her to help me with my team. And then she started talking about virtual. I was like, you treat people skin virtual? Never heard that before. Because, yeah, you know, when people think facial, you think you have to touch somebody. Yeah. And she's like, yeah, I have tons of clients that don't have time, mm-hmm, to either come in person for treatment, or they just need help with their skincare routine. Mm-hmm. And, you know, like with good home care products, clinical grade products, like one serum can run you like $200, and you need a whole set of, mm-hmm, products, right? So it's like, imagine making that money on autopilot, like $500 to $2,000. And you can talk to someone, help them with their routine, and then you never speak with them again because they just want to maintain it. You like the stuff, so you're just going to keep rebuying it. So that's how it even turns passive, too. So you talk on the consultation, get to know them, get them their routine, check in with them later on. But, you know, after that, it's like residual. So I have clients that I haven't even seen in like 4 to 5 years.
Wow.
And they're still buying. So I check my Shopify and there's money coming. I didn't even, wow, do anything. Yeah.
And so, hold on. Hold on, sister. So you're telling me, right, you started a business. Mm-hmm. You did the service yourself. You then created a storefront, mm-hmm, where you hired people. And, you know, they were doing the business, grew that to 7 figures, got mentorship. So even as a 7-figure entrepreneur, you said, listen, I want to scale this. I want to make more money.
Yeah.
So you didn't get comfortable. You paid for a mentor to guide you. That mentor knew something that you didn't know.
Yeah.
Right? Like literally knew something that you didn't know, introduced you to a new model. And then that model, luckily, thank God that you listen, right? That model actually better fits who you are than any other model, right? Because imagine you still ran that storefront. If you weren't able, for whatever reasons, right? Like we're talking chronic illness. This could be vacation.
Yeah.
This could be your child. This could be your child. This could be whatever. This could be whatever reasons where you're unavailable for the business. That business would have not thrived because you have to be actively involved in it. You find a model that now you the plug in outlet, yeah. Right? You provide the service, but then also in order to maintain that service, they need to keep buying the product from you over and over and over again. And so you got clients that you haven't seen in 4 to 5 years that you're still making money from.
Exactly.
Now you rich. Oh, look. All right. So can anybody do this?
Yeah, any esthetician can do it as their license. I do want to clarify, though, like before I found virtual aesthetics, I was only making 10 to 15K a month. Once I added in the virtual aesthetics, I started making 40, 50K a month.
Wow.
So it's a drastic amount of money difference because if you're only taking in service, like in clinic clients, you're only working with your local community.
Yeah.
Like when you go virtual, it's uncapped. So you can treat people all over the nation. So you can make way more money because I come from a small town. So people don't really spend money like that. But once I took my expertise virtually, like I was doing consultations with people in Africa, DR. So it's like, that's what helped me hit my million. It's the virtual.
Wow. Yeah. And I want people to realize that because I think a lot of people, like I was talking to this old lady. I'm saying this young lady, my videographer knows what I'm talking about. But we was talking to this lady. She was 65, and she was just like just cursing out social media. Like, I hate social media. I hate this. And I'm like, miss, and I just realized that there's a lot of older women. Single moms that are making millions of dollars on TikTok, selling products or services.
Yeah.
And what people don't realize is especially if you're from a small town, if you're from a small town, like the internet is your savior because from a small town, you might be from a place that has 1,000 people, 2,000 people, like where's the money? And if they don't have an economy there even, right? Like when we think about places like Detroit, that went under because the economy was cars. And when they moved the cars to the prisons, but that's a different story. When they moved the labor to somewhere else, and then now, you know what I'm saying? Like the economy's not flourishing, the city goes under. Literally, there's a economy that you could create.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Online, like you said, it's uncapped. Like you can reach all of these different people. That's where your money is, right? And like you said, you could scale that way faster than you can a local community. What does it take to be licensed as an esthetician?
Yeah, so in order to be a licensed esthetician, you do have to go to school. It's kind of like cosmetology, like barber, stuff like that. So for New York, it's 600 hours. It's different in every state. So once you get that license, like you could get started even in school because you get your temporary license where you can order products wholesale so you can start selling it. So you could get started while you're in school, you know, because people wait till after. And then now you're trying to post and build your social media to get clients. So start in schools, like 500 to 2,000 per person. You can make a lot of money in one day. I made over 10K in one day, like just treating people virtually, never touched anybody, just did it from home. And like you said earlier, a lot of people are running from online, but 93% of people do an online search before they buy something. So it's like, even if you're doing something where people are only serving the local community, it has to start online anyway, because we don't have Yellow Pages anymore. Like, people aren't starting online if people know what Yellow Pages
are. Right, that's what I was saying. I'm like, if you know, you know. Yes, Pages.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Like, people aren't looking through a book, they're looking online. And one of my favorite mentors, Smitty, he always says, like, whoever markets the most wins. So it's a lot of estheticians, it's a lot of people who, like, no one knows who you are.
Yeah.
Like, and he says that all the time. Like, if no one knows who you are, they can't pay you. So it's like, if I can give any advice, like, in order to make this work and in order to make millions, like, you have to show your face online.
Because
it's like, you could be the top esthetician, you could be the top barber, but if no one knows you, then what?
Yeah.
Only you know, and your clippers know that you're a good barber.
Your bank account don't. Your bank account don't. So now, right? You decided to that help other people learn this business themselves and get to the 6 and 7 figure mark themselves. What was your decision behind saying, you know what, I need to teach this model to other people?
Yeah, for sure. Because I saw a lot of people like about to shut their doors or shut their doors. Yeah, there is a shift in the economy, but people are always like, oh, people aren't spending money. No, people just aren't spending money with you because they're still spending money on things that they find valuable. But the problem is people aren't showing up as valuable. So I always tell people, for example, like if you're an esthetician, just taking a picture of your bed or your room, that's not doing anything for people. You have to call out their pain points. What are people suffering with? Are you tired of spending $1,000 on makeup, trying to cover up your face? Like, why not just invest in your skin a little bit and you don't have to worry about makeup? When it's hot outside, you don't want to wear makeup. Mm-hmm. So it's like call out their pain points. So yeah, people aren't spending as much, but they're spending on things that are valuable. And, you know, women are the top spenders, you know. Men get their face done too, but women are top spenders. So it's like you just have to show up as valuable, like, and people will pay you. Like, even in my small town, I was the most expensive esthetician. Like, I charged $300 for a facial. I was selling packages for $3,000, $4,000, $5,000, and people have been in the game for like 10 years and they're still charging $80. Because the problem is a lot of people think with their own pockets, but it's like it's not about what you think is expensive, it's what the person sees as valuable. Some people think buying sneakers every Saturday, that's worth the $250, but they won't invest in skincare. You know, that's up to the person, but that doesn't mean it's not millions of people out there that want to invest in their skin.
Yeah. And I love that you said that, though, also that people kind of think with their own pockets, because I see that a lot as well, where people have a skill set or they have a something that could make them millions of dollars, but because of like where they are in their life or whatever, or what they would spend money on or invest money in, they are afraid to approach certain people or charge certain things. How does pricing work? Do you set your own pricing? Do you look for only affluent clients? Like if somebody wanted to start, how can they start making 10K a day?
Yeah. So for the play to like be a virtual esthetician or how to run that, so the first step that you do is like just talk about how you can treat their skin all virtually. So you want to make the content first. Mm-hmm. Then you want to lead them into booking the virtual consultation on their menu. Then you just have them send photos of their skin. You host the consultation on Zoom so you can analyze, just listen to what they're saying. Then you just customize a routine. So if someone has acne or dark spots, you just customize a routine where the product is going to help fix that. You mail it to them, send them the routine in their email, how to use everything. And then you just follow up with them, make sure they're good, see if they need any changes, how's everything going. And then after that, you show them how you can just reorder on the website, or they can just text your line because you save their card on file with the booking sites. Mm-hmm. So they don't have to worry. It's kind of like concierge. Oh, do you need a refill? Mm-hmm. Yeah, like I'll just refill that for you and make. Yeah. So you don't even have to think about it or go through the website by yourself. And then you have a long-term client. As long as you have good products, they're going to keep coming back because a lot of people are tired of going to Ulta, Sephora, listening to all these influencers. Mm-hmm. They're tired of the trial and error. So they just want to work with like a skin expert. Mm-hmm. And you have a client for life if you make their skin look good.
Yeah. No, I love that. And from a product perspective, are you creating the products? Are you wholesaling the products? Like, talk a little bit about what you're offering.
So I partner with clinical grade products because in order to get those dramatic results all virtually, you need good products. So you could private label, throw your label on there, but it's not going to be as quality. So, you know, these clinical grade products, like, they run trials, you know, they have chemists. It's really expensive to formulate one product. Like, I would love to do that, but it could cost you like over $10,000 for one product. And, you know, you have to test it on multiple people. So I partner with brands that already have successful products. I know it'll get results. Of course, when you're licensed, you get it for 50% off, so you can still make your profit. Yeah. But yeah, so for now I partner, I don't have my own. Definitely as an esthetician, when you start making more money, you do want to be the plug yourself. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, like if you don't own the product, they can change the ingredients. It cannot be as good. They can up the prices. So the goal is always to have your own. But yeah, for now, that's just partner with them. Yeah.
And so now, so you partner with them, but still 50% markup.
Yeah.
There's still residual income, right? People are paying. And I love the fact that you said this is like a concierge service where a lot of times they're in your system already. So all you got to do is keep charging them. What is the what is the profile of a client, or like somebody that would, you know, take the services?
Yeah. So honestly, everybody needs a skincare routine, man and women. So anyone that just needs help with their skincare. But specifically, I like targeting like corrective clients, like people that are suffering with like acne, dark spots, something that like they just can't stand, that's hard to get rid of, because you're always going to get paid from those people. So like I mentioned earlier with the economy, like people might cut back on like Fluff and Buff, you know, when you go just get like a facial from like those massage places or like nothing special, but that's not going to fix your face if you have acne. So if you target people that are suffering with acne, and there's millions of people, you're going to get paid. Because they've been trying to get rid of that for years. Like I've had clients that have been to dermatologists, have been dealing with it since they're like 13 and they're like 30 now. So it's like they're willing to spend the money. So those are the people you're going to make the most money from, because it doesn't matter the economy. That's something that they're insecure about every single day, you know, and you have the talents to fix their skin and you don't even have to touch them.
Yeah, no, I love that. And so now fast forward to you know, you mentorship, like you now, you know, you've gotten mentorship, you continue to get mentorship, but now you are also a mentor, someone, you know, coming into your program, like what are they learning and what's the benefit of them, you know, being with you?
Yeah, number one, I definitely, one of the main important things is how to attract like premium clients. So I always say we don't do brokies, like I don't do sales. So I want to show them how to position themselves to attract premium clients. So I show them how to do that on all platforms, like the exact things to say in order to get that type of client. So that's huge. Another thing that's huge that I help with is sales. A lot of people don't have sales skills. So it's like a lot of people don't know how to sell product. They can't sell product because they don't know how to do it, or they feel like they're being pushy. So I have a lot of sales experience. So I share that with people. And literally I've had someone come into class, like she signed up on a Monday, went to class Tuesday, made $2,200 the next day, wow, less than 24 hours. Yeah. Also, some of my other mentees, $3,700 in one day, all virtual clients, not touching anyone. So, yeah, as long as you take the ball and you run, like, I will show you.
Wow. And you know, I commend you. I think that this is something that's needed, because when you think about, you know, again, like people who might be going through something, people who just want that freedom, to be honest with you, like to be able to move and do what they want to do. This is a business that they can do from anywhere around the world, in, you know, any moment. But it also gives them that freedom to have that. What has been the biggest lesson that you've learned, you know, as a multimillionaire, right? Like now that you're making, you know, a lot of money, you're able to help like help people, you know, coming, you know, first generation American, right? Coming from Ghana, you know, what have you learned as a first time multimillionaire?
Definitely don't listen to people who don't have the money in the bank account that you want.
Yeah.
That's number one. Like stay tunnel vision, because even if someone does make money, you know, like no one knows like your purpose and what you need to do besides you. Like God speaks to you, not other people. So you have to do what you feel like is right.
Yeah.
Number two, hire slow, fire fast. Yeah. I used to be real soft when I had a team and I kept people a little too long, and that just bleeds money. Mm-hmm. So definitely that. And definitely systems and SOPs, like that's huge. Keeping everything in track, because you'll scale faster than you think. And a lot of people are unprepared for scaling. Mm-hmm. So definitely putting everything together. And honestly, like just getting rid of imposter syndrome, like, you know, we're our own hardest critics. So I feel like a lot of people hide or don't really step into their purpose because they feel like they're not good enough. But we all have something to share with other people. And I believe that we all... we have our own destiny and we unlock other people's destinies, you know, with what we share. Mm-hmm. So it's definitely super important to show face and step in your purpose. For sure.
I love it. What were your, in hindsight, or like, how have your parents taken to your success now?
So the funny part about foreign parents is like, you know, they'll yell and scream when you're not doing the right thing, right? Yeah. But it's like when everything's cool, you know, right, they don't say a word.
Yeah.
But that's how you know you straight. You know,
yeah.
Like they won't say, good job. You're right, doing good. Right. They're just zip. Yeah. Like, so when you know they quiet, you cool.
So you do it. You do it. You do your thing.
Yeah.
What does like, what does the next level of success look like for you, right? If we look, you know, 5 years down the line, you know, where is Elaine Essien, the esthetician, like the triple E? Where's triple E going?
Definitely helping as many people as I can, because there's so many estheticians struggling or about to close their doors. So I don't know, maybe partnering with some schools and showing them like how they can do virtual as well. Like they don't have to just go work for somebody or work for themselves like in person. Because like you said earlier, like a lot of people, they want to spend time with their kids. Like most service providers, you know, they're at the shop all day, all weekends. You know what I mean? So you know, you can live in your purpose, but not have to be a slave to it. So I definitely want to, you know, keep spreading the word and helping other people save their business. You know, you can still help the client and help yourself.
Yeah.
Also, like I said, get richer so I could fund, you know, Sickle Cell Foundation, you know, get some more awareness, build a hospital. I don't know if you ever seen the show Supercell on Netflix. It's actually about like, so that's the first show I've ever seen speaking about it. And they had something similar, like with the hospital for those types of condition. So definitely, yeah, just more giving back, helping other people, and of course scaling on my end.
I love it, because I've had and known people who've had sickle cell. I know about, you know, the pain that they go through, but I never had anybody explain it the way you did. So definitely I want to make sure, you know, that I spread awareness as much as I can. But then also, you know, just even beyond that, right? Again, this type of business that allows people to have freedom, allows people to, do what they love to do, right? But do it in a way that it isn't taxing. And that's the other thing I wanted to mention, is that you talk about purpose, and I believe that. I think a lot of people mix up passion for purpose.
Yeah.
Right? Like you could be passionate about something and that not be your purpose.
Yeah.
I truly believe that whatever your purpose is will actually make room for you, right? Because when you think about how perfect God has been to you though, right? Like how perfect God has been to you, because, you know, growing up with sickle cell, knowing, right, that, hey, I can't do this corporate thing. Even if I wanted to do it, I can't do it because I'm getting fired all the time. I have to be an entrepreneur. But even when you took the route of being an entrepreneur, it took you down a path where you had a glorified job. You still worked for the business. And then you decided, right, to get a mentor. And that mentor led you to this business that literally is saving your life, right?
Yeah.
So your purpose also though comes with a level of obedience.
Yeah.
Right. Can you talk a little bit about that? Like as a business owner, you know, going from not making any money to seven figures, closing a shop, having to rebuild it back to seven figures. Talk a little bit about the mindset that it takes to do that, but then the ups and downs of business, like what should someone watching here know about building a business that's really important as it relates to mindset, as it relates to how they should be maneuvering if they truly want to create a successful business?
Yeah, so one of my favorite lines too is like, it has to work or it has to work. So that's like a life motto that I've had since I was younger, right? So because I didn't have a choice. So many people have options. So it's like they don't really go all in, but I don't have any options, right? So I have to give it my all. And it's like, yeah, I love that you brought up the obedience part, because a lot of people don't step into their purpose that God has called them to, and they wonder why their life is miserable. So sometimes you don't want to do something, right? Like even being a mentor, I didn't want to share my numbers. I didn't want to talk about it, but I knew God was calling me to it. Like I'm a private person. I'm like, great, I have to make all this content, talk about all this money. I don't really want to discuss that, but I had to, because if I didn't, I would be stopping other people from their purpose. Like a lot of people people would have closed their doors. You know, they wouldn't be able to see their family. So it's like, if I never walked in my purpose, I wouldn't have allowed them to. So it's like being obedient, and like God will always reward you. And, you know, being younger and dealing with the sickle cell, I'm like, what is the purpose of me even being like, why did God put me here to just suffer? But fast forwarding till now, like I can really relate to people and I can help bring people up because I've been through it, like, you know. And, you know, when people are watching this, they hear the million and the this and they think you're so successful. But entrepreneurship is hard. But, you know, you have to pick your hard, because it's like working corporate is hard. Getting fired is hard. You know, running your own. There's nothing in this world that's easy. So it's like, honestly, like setting goals and just understanding what do you really want for yourself? Like, that's what's going to keep you motivated, because if you have no goals, you have no target. You know, if you're just going day by day, like you're never going to accomplish anything.
Yeah.
So definitely stepping your purpose and not quitting. A lot of people quit too soon. Like they quit right before they're about to break the mark. So it's like you have to keep going even when no one's supporting you.
Yeah.
You know, even when no one's clapping for you. That's one thing I had to learn early. It's like, because I told you, even my own parents, they ain't clap for me. So it's like I keep going with no sound. Like I clap for myself, and I just like, God has really carried me, honestly. Like I just talk to him. I be looking crazy walking the park, just talking to God. Like I have no one to talk to but him. But he always puts me in alignment, like you said, with the mentor. She really did save my business. You know, other mentors that I have as well, like they've been helping me grow and scale. So that's huge. Like, honestly, a lot of people don't invest in mentorship because they don't have it. But the whole purpose of mentorship is like investing into something that you don't really have now to make more later on. So a lot of people try to DIY everything, but you're just wasting time. And a lot of people who DIY and they never want to invest, those are the people that close their business. Mm-hmm. But if you get everything handed to you on a silver platter, like you can't fail. Like if you take the ball and you run, you're going to be successful, because it's really the shortcut to success, because that person has already done everything you're about to do. They've already made the mistakes that you're going to make. So it's like, why not cut to the success? Like if I could go back, I would have got a mentor as soon as I left the aesthetic school, or even while I was in it. So highly recommend mentorship, especially like I mentioned, coming from a small town, there was no millionaires around me that I knew of, you know what I mean? Maybe a few, but they're like, you know, the other race, and maybe they want to talk to you. So one thing that was huge for me is like, you know, whatever you do frequently is your frequency. So I always tuned into podcasts, like was always trying to grow my business mind, my personal development, because I couldn't ask my parents. They're from Africa. You know, I don't have any friends that are successful. So just always tuning into things that are going to grow my brain. Mm-hmm. Like that's definitely what's helped me succeed. So you can't do it by yourself. One thing my dad always says is like, even the Pope has a mentor. Like you don't know everything.
Yeah.
So important to get the knowledge from other people, because if you never made a million, how are you going to make a million?
Thanks. What gave you the mindset and courage to invest, right? Because I think that's one of the biggest issues that I see people stand in their way, right? They do all they can do themselves. They have the drive. They have the talent. They have everything. They do all they can do themselves. They hit a plateau, and then they just keep trying to do the same things over and over and over again. And you know, a lot of people just refuse to invest in a mentor. Like what gave you the thought process to say, you know what, I'm a pay this person?
Yeah, that's exactly how I felt, capped and plateaued. I'm like, dang, like, you know, when you first start as an entrepreneur, you strive to hit them 10K mark.
Right, right.
But then after you hit 10K for a little bit, you're like, all right, like I see other people doing more. So I felt capped. You know, I did the YouTube university. I did everything by myself, but I kept getting stuck. So I'm like, okay, I don't have anyone to ask about my business. My parents don't know. My friends don't know. Yeah. So I'm like, the only way to uncap myself is to tap in and pay someone that makes more money than me and does the same thing. So it's like, I did that. My first mentor was a flop, didn't really learn anything from her, and a lot of people stop too when they have a bad experience with a mentor. So it can feel defeating, but it's knowing that you want more and you know that you can have more. So it's like, I could have stopped there, like, oh, I didn't learn anything, I wasted my money. But something in my heart was like, no, there's more. Someone else can give it to you. So, you know, I did end up investing in another person. I was scared, you know, like to this day, we still make jokes. We're cool. Like, we're friends now. And I was like, so scared to invest because I'm like, do I know everything? But I'm like, I don't know everything because there's other people making more than me. So she's like, don't invest, you know, if you feel like it won't be. And I was like, no, I'm not going to miss my chances. Yeah. So I invested anyway. And that's when I started hitting those 40, 50K months. So I always tell people, like, you know, if I never invested that 10,000, I would have cost myself $40,000 every single month for years. You know what I mean? So a lot of people who are not willing to invest, they stay stuck, you know, or they close their business. Like, you know, they never reach the true success because you're too prideful to get help.
Yeah. Yeah. Man, I'm convinced though that entrepreneurs are crazy. No, I'm convinced. I'm convinced that entrepreneurs are crazy. Entrepreneurs are delusional. You're telling me a first generation American, parents from Ghana, Africa, comes here with this rare, you know, disease that no one really cares about because it only affects, you know, black and brown people, decides to not take the safe route, decides to become an entrepreneur, build a business up to seven figures, realize that, you know, that she's trapped in that business, so decides to close that business and uses $10,000 to invest in herself, right? Never, you know, just kind of had this thought process, this crazy idea to spend $10,000 on a mentor. The mentor now helps you, helps her get create a business. And all the while she's going through this excruciating pain, days, sometimes months at a time, and still believes, right, that, hey, I'm going to continue to just get rich. That sounds like delusion to me, but I'll take that delusion any day, right? If somebody wanted to be part of your program, they wanted to connect with you, where's the best way? Can they find me?
Yeah, so you can find me on Instagram, Elaine Essien, ElaineEssien. So I do a class every day, and I teach people how they can go into virtual aesthetics. So you can tap in with me there. Yeah. And I also have
the guys as well. Or is it just...
Oh, there's male estheticians. I didn't know that many, but, you know, they could do it too.
Not fine. Cut that out. But what do you have to be, like, do you have to be passionate about that, or like?
I mean, it's all about how much money you want to make, because it's like, I know people aren't passionate about, like, the oil industry. It's boring, you know, so it's like, what do you want for yourself? What do you want for your future? I don't know who wouldn't want to make 2,000 in 30 minutes, yeah, because you'll be slaving away in your treatment room for a minute trying to make that.
And the audience is there. So here's the other, the other thing that I want to say, though, about that is, there'll always be an audience for you, right? Can you talk a little bit? I have actually stats that I'll go over, yeah, but can you talk about that, right? Because I think a lot of times also, and this is why I love what you said earlier about people make decisions with their pockets. Mm-hmm. Yo, I'm telling you, that's a gem, y'all. If like, stop doing that,
yeah,
right? Because a lot of times people will say, like, just because you wouldn't do it, doesn't mean there aren't people out there doing it. And there's somebody right now who's like looking at the economy and they're saying, the economy is messed up. You know, thousands of people are losing jobs and things of that nature. And so why would somebody spend money on beauty, right? If that's the case. But that's you. Like, that's you. That's what you would do, yeah, right? Talk about that, like the plethora of clientele available for what you do.
Yeah, personal care services is always going to be there. Remember COVID? People was going to jail because people wanted their cut, and they're doing it in their home, you know, and that wasn't allowed because 6 feet. So it's like, look at COVID. Like, people still wanted their services. They were begging. They were willing to pay extra to come to people's houses to take their skin, get their skin done, their hair done, whatever, nails. So it's like, for the aesthetics industry, that's like $1 million, billion, almost going to be a $1 billion business. So it's like, there's tons of money to make. And as mentioned earlier, like, if you go virtual, it's uncapped how much money you can make. If you live in a small town, you're only going to make so much money. So it's like, definitely go into it. You have to post online anyway to get clients. So you might as well just do a virtual consultation. You can do it from anywhere. You can do it on a trip, on a beach, anywhere in the world.
Yeah. And one thing I'll say, because I remember, you know, I mean, like, my background is a banker, and I had affluent clients that I worked with. The one thing I'll say is that premium clients, those who are affluent, they think in abundance, right? So abundance is your birthright. They think in abundance. A bad economy doesn't affect affluent people, right? In fact, the only people who care about a bad economy, and we talked earlier about the 1%, the only people who care about a bad economy are those who are middle income, right? And not even the poor people, right? Because if you're poor or affluent, a bad economy is not going to affect you.
Exactly.
Because a poor person is poor already, right? That if they live below the poverty line, let's just say, the economy doesn't matter because they're poor already. So the only way they could go is up. So that person doesn't matter. The economy doesn't matter to that person. When you look at somebody who's affluent, a bad economy doesn't matter to them either, because at the end of the day, they have so much money that even, you know, it's going to take years before they, you know, it would even affect them. And the truth of the matter is, most affluent people invest their money anyway. And so regardless of an economy, they know how to make money, right? So they know how to make money in a good economy. They know how to make money in a bad economy. And so an affluent person doesn't care about the economy either. It's really like the people in the middle, who works the jobs, who go paycheck to paycheck, the six-figure trap, like, oh, I make six figures and you think you cool, but no, you are that person that if the economy, like, you're, you know, one crisis away, one, paycheck away from destruction, right? And then those are the people that care about it. So the truth of the matter is that if you are in that space, which is the majority of people who might be watching here, you should be thinking about going into this type of business that focuses on the affluent, who are not going, like, they don't really, they're really not going to be affected by the economy. And there are enough of those people out there. I'm, you know, thank God that, you know, I'm not part of a space where when things go bad, I cut back. But I'm like, I got a bald head, and I go to my barber. I don't care what's going on. I go to my barber every week. Like, listen, I need you to shape this up, right? And I'm a good tipper. If you watch it, you know I tip. You know what I'm saying? And so if I tell you what I pay as a bald guy, what I pay a month for care, it kind of gives you that idea of how this is a business that's not going anywhere. Elena, I had a pleasure. It was a pleasure, you know, connecting with you, talking to you. I love your story. I love what you're doing. I definitely want people to tap into what you got going on. So I'm gonna drop the link in the description, so y'all could check out her class, because I think it's important to create a recession-proof type of business that, regardless of what's going on, you can make some money. But then even during a good economy, let's kill the grind culture, right? Let's kill the culture that says that we got to work hard for money, because the truth is, it's about changing your relationship with money. Money should be working hard for you. You should be working hard for it. Again, tell the people, where can they find you? Where can they connect with you?
Yeah, you can find me on Instagram, Elaine Essien, ELAINEESSIEN, as well as on YouTube, too. There's a lot of game that I give for free on there.
All right, y'all. We are closing out the vault. Another awesome episode of Inside the Vault with Ash Cash, the greatest money mindset show on the planet. Listen, y'all, make sure you follow us on all social media platforms at Inside the Vault. Go to our website, InsideTheVaultShow.com. Me, I am Ash Cash. Make sure you visit me, IamAshCash.com. Follow me on all social media platforms at IamAshCash. Also, join the Abundance Community. Go to TheAbundanceCommunity.com. I'll see you next time. Same time, same place. Make sure you tell a friend to tell a friend, share this, like this, do all that good stuff. But we'll see you next time, same place, in God's will. Peace!
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.